Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So this month, January, is Liver Health Awareness Month, and it's a really important time for the 500 babies, children and young people who attend hospital here for treatment. In a moment, I'm going to speak to Sonia Grandison, who's a liver nurse specialist based in Crumlin Children's Hospital, about the services we provide here. You're very welcome, Sonia. Thank you for being here. But first, I want to speak to Niamh Lenehan and her dad, Dennis. Lovely to see you.
How you doing?
Thank you for being here. So, Niamh, you had a liver transplant back in 2020, wasn't it?
Yes.
And your dad, Dennis, was your donor.
Correct.
But I want to go back to getting to that point. So, when did your problems first begin?
So, I was diagnosed when I was 11 years old with an illness called primary sclerosing cholangitis. And, it was 16 when I got the transplant.
Right, so you were 11 and then you had 5 years then of dealing with that. And what happened when you were 11? Like, how did you know that you weren't well? What was the first sign?
So the main thing was tiredness. I just started getting very drowsy, very fatigued throughout the day, and little bits here and there. So there was jaundice, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just general kind of liver symptoms, and went to the doctor and very quickly got a diagnosis.
Right. And then did things start to get worse from that point on, or was it a slow burn?
Yeah. So it was kind of slow towards the start, but then towards the time when I had the transplant, so around 14, 15, it started to pick up the pace a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was when transplants started getting mentioned in appointments and
right.
stuff like that.
That was a scary time, Dennis, I'd say, was it?
I suppose, it was scary, but we were kind of braced for it.
Because from the diagnosis point, you knew that it was...
The lingo was kind of stepping up, you know, through the years. We kind of knew what it was in front of us. We didn't know the timeline, but we knew at some stage it was coming down the tracks.
So when did you come into the picture then, in terms of being a potential donor?
So as part of the liver program, we went over to King's Hospital in London in February 2020, I think it was. And it was when we were over there and Niamh was put on the transplant list, then this option came for a live donor. So you needed the right blood type, which is a B positive, which I was. And then we took it from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coordinators over there to help you through the process.
What did you think about it when you first realised that you were potentially the one?
I was kind of quite happy.
Were you?
Delighted that I could actually
help.
Help, yeah, absolutely.
You see, I'm a bit confused about this because I know I only have one liver.
Yeah.
So how do I give that one liver to somebody else? How does it work?
So the liver, I think Sonia's probably better for answering this question, but the liver is a complex organ, but we can give a part of it. We can cut some of it off.
Right.
Transplant it. And then my liver has grown back and then the new organ, the new graft in Niamh grows into a full liver.
Right. So the problem is, though, that you're an adult man and, you know, you have your daughter here who you were 16 at the time. So is there an issue there with the size of the liver?
So the good thing about a liver transplant is that there's only two kind of parameters that you need, and that's size and blood type.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite small because I was sick for a good few years. So the size was perfect. And then obviously the blood was a match. So, yeah.
And off you went.
Yeah.
And you had to do a lot of work before the transplant happened, didn't you?
Well, there was a bit of a lifestyle change, I suppose, you know. It was like, I suppose, training for a marathon, maybe. I had to be physically fit coming into any transplant.
So exercise, diet?
Yeah.
No pints?
No pints, yeah.
So how was all that? Was that tough?
No, it wasn't. As I say, I've never done a marathon, but I guess it's like training for a marathon. There's an objective, there's a goal at the end of it. So that was the main focus. So really everything else is secondary, you know.
And they were keeping an eye on you through all this, were they?
No, that's just something that we did ourselves. We just knew the assessment was coming up at some stage. We were in the middle of COVID at the time, it was 2020. But we knew at some stage I would travel to King's to do an assessment, 4-day assessment. So it's just, for me, it was just to be as prepared as I possibly could.
Were you keeping an eye on him saying, come on now, keep moving?
I don't know.
He's nodding beside you. But it was important that he be as healthy as possible, I suppose, just to go through the operation.
Of course, they want you to be as healthy as possible because they needed to work out. Obviously, they need to know that you're going to be perfect coming out of it.
Yeah, that's it. They look after the donor in that if there's not 1% not right, they won't do it.
So what was it like then when you went to have the operation? You went over as a family, did you?
Yes. Yeah. So we got it done in King's Hospital in London, and we went over. Because it was through a live donor, we were able to pick the day that we went to for the transplant. So we booked it in and then went over a couple of days before, got tests done. And then the morning of, I think you went in before me and I was in a couple hours afterwards.
So you went in early in the morning.
So it's very mechanical how it all works. So, you know, we start at 8 o'clock in the morning and they don't start do anything for Niamh until they actually see the liver that's been donated, and at that stage then they said, right, let's proceed.
Nerve-wracking.
So literally,
not for you because you're under, I mean, you don't know what's going on, but for you and your mum.
My mum, definitely. I think she was probably the most nervous of anyone that day because we were in at the same time, so yeah.
So did you get to see your dad before you went in for surgery?
No, I think I saw you that night beforehand, but I don't think I saw you that morning, did I?
No, you wouldn't have seen me that morning, no.
It was quite early in the morning.
And when did you know then that it had worked out? I know it takes time, you know, to go through all that process, but in the immediate aftermath, did anyone say, we think this is going to be okay?
Do you mean like as in after you wake up?
Yeah. Or,
well, I guess, yeah, I mean, once you wake up, the realisation hits you that, oh, this has happened, because obviously you're waiting for it for so many months. And then you wake up and you're like, this is great.
And how, in terms of practicalities then, when did you get to go home, Dennis? And then
so we had, the transplant was done on the 4th, it was a Friday the 4th, and I went home on Friday the 18th, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So you so, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you said goodbye to Niamh at that point, did you?
Yes, yeah.
And it. How long did you stay, Niamh?
I was 9 weeks over in King's Hospital.
And then came back here and in hospital again here for a time?
I think for around a month, but I was able to go home during that, so it was nice.
And what was the recovery like?
The recovery, well, I say it was going upwards from the moment the surgery happened, so it was only upwards. It was a lot of physio, a lot of just minding myself, and in a year's time I'd say I was more or less back to normal.
And you're obviously doing great now.
Yeah, it's night and day before and after
really?
Transplant, honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm. In terms of quality of living and everything.
And how are you?
Good.
Really? No impact?
No impact at all. No impact.
Wow, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sonia, this is unusual, I would say, is it, this type of situation, is it?
For them to be a match, is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in 2023, we had 4 transplants and there was just one of them was a living donor. The uncle was the donor for that child. And it's to do with a match as well. We have one child on the waiting list. The parents aren't a match for that child, so they don't have that option. But they're a year and a half waiting a liver transplant.
Now, and we heard the story about going over to London and having the operation. We do all of the care before the surgery here. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we have a great team in Crumlin, Dr. Fitzpatrick and Dr. Anne-Marie Broderick and Professor Billy Burke will be the main consultants that see our liver transplant patients in here in Crumlin Hospital. And then post-transplant, when they transfer back over, their medical treatment is all here in Ireland, all the follow-ups and outpatient appointments.
Right. So you're looking after a child right from when this is diagnosed, right the way through. But what happens then when they become an adult?
Their liver transplant patients, we've set up a transition clinic now where they're transferred over to St. Vincent's Hospital. So it's prepping them, do they know their medication, why they've had a liver transplant. And
what's that been like for you?
It's been lovely. Yeah, I mean, I don't really deal with much anymore. I've had a very good run after transplant. I haven't had to deal with any kind of rejection or anything, so...
So you've minimal contact now with all the doctors and all the rest. Isn't that great in itself to hear that?
Yeah.
Is it difficult for parents then, Sonia, when their child is moving from your system to the adult system?
I think so, yeah. We kind of wrapped them up in cotton wool in Crumlin Hospital. And the parents are coming to the hospital. They're the advocate for the child. They're speaking on behalf of them. And we're trying to get the child to start from the age of 15, 16 to start, you know, telling us, have they any symptoms, telling us about their medications, so that they're prepared when they go into over to the adult services, mm-hmm. That they can go to their appointments and they can request prescriptions and, yeah, speak for themselves.
It's a tough diagnosis, isn't it? I mean, you must be delighted when you see an outcome like this one.
Yeah, Niamh is just fantastic. Yeah, it is. And it's great. As I was saying to Niamh, we had a patient there last month who we were telling them that their child needed a liver transplant. And it's just great to light at the end of the tunnel. You know, Niamh has gone on to college and a normal life. So
so it's useful for you to be able to probably use Niamh as an example.
Oh, she's fantastic, yeah.
Because I mean, I was saying to Dennis, it's very frightening, I'd say, when you're told, I mean, you know your child isn't well, but then to be told that they need to go on this waiting list for a liver transplant is another very difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah, your life is on hold. And as I said, we've one patient on the waiting list for longer, year and a half. So financially and mentally, it's really draining mm-hmm. for that family, yeah.
And what is life like when those patients are on the list? When you're at that stage, it's been decided you need a transplant. What is your day-to-day like as a patient?
Well, it depends how sick the child is. Niamh, thankfully, you were well enough. You didn't need many admissions, but some of our patients would be in and out a lot of the time with cholangitis, which would be an infection of the bile ducts, and they would need to come in for 2 weeks IV antibiotics. So they could be in and out of hospital with temperatures presenting to ED. So for the parents to keep working, it's really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But coming to appointments, yeah.
We have a great outcome here today, yeah. And it's great to see you both doing so well and that you could help your daughter. Isn't that the best yeah. gift you could give?
Absolutely.
Dennis and Niamh, thank you so much, and Sonia for coming in from Crumlin Children's Hospital. We will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.